Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Okay, another topic. You got to get straight. It's not as simple as you wanted it to be. And I observe confusion over this topic all the time. I was just listening to the last show. Dr. Marshall, a lady called in, and she had an issue about the fact that she just simply cannot move the pH. And of course, she was correctly counseled that she had to look for a tooth, that her practitioner had to see if she had an infection there. But I want to take this hour to really get into this issue of pH on an even deeper level, because lots of people sit there. I have them come into the office all the time with reams of paper charting their pH day to day to day to day to day. And they're constantly confused because they can't get the pH to stay in the green all the time, or they can't get it to stay in the green at all, and they feel they've tried everything. That's the kind of topic we're going to tackle today, because really there's lots of reasons your pH isn't where you want it to be. We got to get into that. But more than anything, what is pH? What does that even mean? What does that mean in the context of cell chemistry, of cell biology, of your health? You got to dig a little deeper to understand it so you can really appreciate it, respect it, comply with it, and relax behind it. All that anxiety over it's half the reason you're acidic. pH. I'll go no further to confuse you than to say pH is the negative log of the hydrogen ion concentration in the body. Big words for very little. All that means, pH being the negative log of the hydrogen ion concentration, is simple. No matter where you stopped studying chemistry, you remember the word carbon atom and hydrogen atom, and that human beings, live matter, animals, anything on the planet that we call life, is made of organic minerals. That simply means not uranium. It means carbon. It means hydrogen. It means nitrogen. It means oxygen. It means selenium. It means germanium. It means any atom on the periodic table of elements, all the atoms combined, any atom that you find in living organisms on the planet Earth is called an organic atom. Many of those, in layman's terms, we call minerals. A mineral is an atom. Same thing, except we use the word mineral for atoms found in living animals on this planet, not some other solar system, but this planet, along the lines of calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, are commonly observed minerals. Our bodies are made up of lots of these minerals, which are atoms. And then trace minerals like germanium, selenium, beryllium. In fact, there's very little in the way of mineral that doesn't have some normal percentage in our body. We use everything, even if it's on the micro level. So you can change out the word mineral with the word atom. But if you were to look at the human body and you were to break it down into its component atoms, you would find a ton of carbon, a ton of nitrogen, and a ton of hydrogen. Now that's the key here, because the hydrogen atom is typical of any atom. It's got a proton and a neutron in its nucleus and an electron in its orbit. So it's simple. You can handle this, and you must handle this. The structure of the atom is to have a nucleus with a proton, a positive charged entity. Proton beam therapy. We throw nothing but protons at tumors to kill them. You hear the word proton. Combined with a neutron, which is a neutrally charged particle in the atom that sits pretty close to the proton in what we call the nucleus of the atom. It gives the atom its molecular weight. And then there's the electron, or electrons, that spin with certain spins around that center, and that are also very, very influential as to the total charge of the atom. Now, a hydrogen atom, if it's neutral, has a proton in the center and an electron in the orbital ring. When we say a proton, it means that that electron is gone. The electron goes away. It gets busy with something else. And all you're looking at when you say a proton, which is an H+, which is how we measure acidity in the body. This acidity in the body is a function of the number of hydrogen atoms minus their electrons, giving the hydrogen atom a positive one charge. A proton is a plus one charged hydrogen atom that's missing its electron. Now that's as far as you got to go, but you got to go that far, because the amount of those in any given moment in the water in between your cells, the amount of those in any given moment in the fluid between your cells is what determines your acidity. If you have a lot of hydrogen atoms, a lot of protons, H plus charges, after we take the negative log, which is a mathematical calculation, very simple to do, we're going to come up with a number. That number is called the pH. And if that pH in the water between your cells is below 7.4, like it's 7.3, like it's 7.2, like it's 7.1. Just reflective of the number of hydrogen protons, you get sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. By the time your intercellular fluid, the fluid between the cells, has too much acidification measured by the hydrogen atoms, the protons, by the time they occur in too much abundance, you're starting to fry. In other words, all the things you've ever heard of acidity, less available oxygen for the cell, more inflammation, so on and so forth, whatever you understand this as, is occurring more and more and more, and we'll get into that later. Great. pH is the negative log of the hydrogen ion concentration. Sparing you that mathematical calculation, all it means is if we shrunk you down into micron land and you went in between the cells and all your organs and all your body and you took the world view, once you see too many and too much of these protons, you're in more and more and more acidity. If you were taking a sip of that water in between your cells, if that water starts to taste, literally, too acidic, you start falling apart. Okay? So there's your basic understanding of acidity in the intercellular space versus alkalinity. Now we're going to bring another concept in. Alkalinity is directly proportional to the number of hydroxyl ions. That's an oxygen combined with a hydrogen living in there with a negative charge. And the number of OHs with a negative charge counterbalancing the amount of H's with a positive charge, well, that's a measure of your alkalinity. So you've got these two competing little moieties, little variables in your intercellular fluid. One is a proton, a hydrogen ion with a plus charge. The other is a hydroxyl ion, which is an oxygen combined with a hydrogen that has a negative charge. Together, they cancel each other out, and they make water. So in that intercellular space, depending on how much you have of one or the other, do you get your pH? Just the big word pH for if you took a swim in that intercellular fluid, would you be burning an acid? Or would it be just like regular water, neutral? Or would it be the other extreme of that? Something extremely alkaline. Perfect. If you got that, we can have a conversation and you can start to understand what's really happening inside your body. Okay, first of all, pH. Our concern about pH is really our concern about, is the system alkaline or is the system acidic? What system? All the chemical equations that control the intercellular water, is the sum total of that bringing you more acidity or more alkalinity? Our concern with that started a long time ago, oddly enough, in Japan. And the book you want to get is Acid Alkaline by a guy named Herman Ihara, A-I-H-A-R-A. There's three big names that really drove, more than anybody, this acid-alkaline concern. And those three big names were, one, George Oshawa, O-S-H-A-W-A, George Oshawa, dead a long time, started out very ill with tuberculosis, cured his own tuberculosis at a time when tuberculosis was within the top five reasons, within the top five mortalities each year was tuberculosis back at the turn of the last century in the early 1900s. And Oshawa's family contracted tuberculosis, so did he. Much of his family died from it, as many did at that time. And George Oshawa went on to cure his own, look into the fundamental science behind health. And from that sprung this issue of acid alkaline, which evolved what we call today macrobiotics. Macrobiotics, if you check Sherry Rogers, medical doctor out of Florida, if you review her work with Michio Kushi up in Boston in the 60s and 70s, her findings, this is Sherry Rogers, medical doctor, very famous, well-known person, has a couple of great books, Tired or Toxic, You Are What You Eat, witnessed single-handedly with that extremely critical eye that a medical doctor would bring to people, witnessed lots of very, very justified cures for cancer under the name of a man named Michio Kushi, who was one of the derivatives of acid alkaline studies, starting with Oshawa. Herman Ihara, another of one of Oshawa's followers. Ihara studied with Oshawa. And probably those three names, George Oshawa originally, Herman Ihara, and Michio Kushi, sprung macrobiotics. Macrobiotics showed just blazing levels of success with serious illness. It was testimony to what Western science picked up later, and we'll get into that, as the importance of an alkaline intercellular fluid. An alkaline intercellular fluid. Driving much of what vegetarianism today will claim is the problem with meat eating. That meat is so high in phosphorus that it pulls calcium out of the bone to balance the phosphorus in the red meat. And that sets you up for constant acidification so that your alkalinity between the cells of the body starts to push too much towards acidity. You lose that alkaline, and that has lots of bad ramifications. So this acid-alkaline concern was something that began with the Japanese a long time ago, over 100 years ago. The other book that you want to get, if you're interested in really understanding this, is The Calcium Factor, which was about the counsel perspective of a medical doctor out of Canada by the name of Carl Reich. Book's called The Calcium Factor. It was published in 1992, put together by a guy named Robert Barefoot. Robert Barefoot became synonymous with the word coral calcium. He became synonymous with the word pH. He became synonymous with the word alkalize, or you're not going to stay healthy in the Western world. But Barefoot was bringing to us the work of a medical doctor from Canada who in the 50s, 60s, 70s had fabulous success focusing upon the alkalization of people's bodies that presented with a myriad of problems, including cancer. And although I haven't seen documentation of these cancer cures, I don't know if they're available. But although I haven't seen it, Reich purportedly showed many, many, many successes by cleaning up people's diets, improving their lifestyles, and then measuring the shift from their acidified state into their alkaline state. So you got two drivers on this in the world over the last 100 years. One was, check the book, The Calcium Factor, about the work of Carl Reich. You can get that book easily. And the other one's Acid Alkaline by Herman Ihara. All right, there's the backdrop. Let's put some of this together. So there you have this cell, whatever cell you want. Brain, kidney, liver, heart, any of the cells that line your digestive system. These cells do what those cells are supposed to do. A brain cell transmits an electrical impulse. A kidney cell filters. A liver cell filters. A heart cell contracts like a muscle to pump blood. A muscle cell contracts so you can move. These cells live on glucose. They get fed glucose. Your blood sugar goes into the cell. The glucose binds to receptor sites in the cell. And when the glucose goes through the cell membrane, it goes into a process that we call glycolysis. Then it goes into the Krebs cycle. Then it goes into the electron transport chain. And off this triage of evolution, this glucose cell produces the money, the currency, the molecule that moves the gears inside your little cell, which you can think of as a factory. Glucose breaks down in the presence of oxygen, and this is where alkalinity and calcium are going to come in. Glucose breaks down in the presence of oxygen to adenosine triphosphate. We liberate energy or cellular currency off glucose in the form of ATP. Now, you've heard that before on some of the other shows. And that ATP, that adenosine triphosphate, is going to be used to repair the cell or to carry out the function of the cell. It's going to be used to repair the cell, or it's going to be used to carry out the function of the cell. Now, that glucose molecule is useless to the cell unless it's got an abundant supply of oxygen. You don't get an efficient evolution of glucose to ATP unless you have a sufficient amount of oxygen. And oxygen gets in through membranes. It diffuses through ports or holes in the cell membrane. And much of that oxygen transfer from the amount of it in the blood to its ability to infuse your cell is controlled by the alkalinity of the intercellular fluid. The alkalinity of the intercellular fluid, which is very calcium dependent. It's dependent on other things too. But calcium is a great alkalizer, but so is potassium. So is magnesium. But all the to-do about calcium, thus Carl Wright's book, The Calcium Factor, is simply because calcium has a massive say as to the pH of the intercellular fluid, which has a massive say on the amount of oxygen that the cell can ingest. So you got to have the oxygen. You better be picking it up in the lungs. If the blood is alkaline as it's buffered to be, and buffering is another issue, but if the blood is buffered correctly and the intercellular water, the water between the cells, is alkaline enough as it approaches a better and better alkalinity. So as it goes from 6.2 to 6.4 to 6.6 to 6.8 to 7 to 7.2 to 7.4, the more alkaline off the back of calcium that intercellular water is, the more oxygen you can get into the cell. That's maximum cellular efficiency riding on the back of maximal oxygenization, riding on the back of maximum alkalinization, riding on the back of the right balance of mineral in the body, alkalizing minerals, riding on the back of the fact that you ingested the right amount, riding on the back of that you're not using all those alkalizing minerals for other things, like that infection in the tooth, like the poor diet, like the 25 or 30 things I'm going to list later on that will eat up those minerals. But all things being correct, riding on the back of an alkaline intercellular fluid, you have a maximal production of adenosine triphosphate, and that makes you feel good. That's an efficient cell. Now, when this doesn't happen, we run into acidification. When this doesn't happen, we run into a situation where your body, per molecule of glucose, makes acidic byproducts in the form of, you guessed it, lactic acid. Lactic acid is not where you want to go when you're talking about cellular efficiency. Lactic acid, or the without oxygen form of energy production, the anaerobic, the without oxygen secondary system that your body puts into play in the absence of oxygen. When do you have this experience? You have this experience when you exercise. You all know what lactic acid buildup is in your body when you exercise. When you pound the pavement, which you're not going to be doing until the 1st of January, even though what a day to do it. But you're not going to do it till the 1st of January. You're busy, so busy out there, because this is holiday season. But on January 1st, once again, that New Year's resolution will come. You're going to do it right this time. We talked about it last year, how successful were we? But the point is, when you start working out on January 1st, you're going to get sore. When you're getting sore, it simply means that the demands you place upon your muscular cells were exceeded by the amount of oxygen you could get to the cell. You couldn't get enough oxygen. And so your muscular cell had to shift its ATP production so you could continue to contract your cells. It had to shift that production into another form. And that other form, that without oxygen process, that anaerobic process, builds up the lactic acid. That lactic acid buildup is what happens to people regularly. That lactic acid buildup is how lots of people live. When those pHs in the intercellular space dip too low, and we can't get enough oxygen into the cell, why does low pH prevent that? Because under low pH, you don't get the same openings of the membranes of the cell. Under low pH, the blood can carry less oxygen. So for both those reasons, a more acidic pH means less oxygen to the cell. And that produces a more acidic pH. It's a cycle of, for different reasons, and we'll get into them, you can't keep the pH of the blood, of the intercellular space, ultimately, at a high enough or alkaline enough level. And this starts to force each cell in each organ into an anaerobic, a more without oxygen form of glycolysis. So you're not getting your money's worth out of your glucose molecule anymore, and you're producing too much acidifying byproduct. Now, what does acidification do in the body? Acidification is inflammation. Acidification is inflammation. Acidification is a state in which inside the cell, outside the cell, nobody's happy. Every compound becomes less stable. And here's another thing. The chemistry of the body, the interaction between molecules in the physiology of the cell, is really about different compounds, assuming different configurations, shapes, different shapes and sizes and angles are all electrically dependent. It means if the pH is correct, the electrical charges of all the compounds that do the great cellular dance, that the shapes of these compounds, their configurations, the way they lock into each other, all your enzymatic chemistry, which is extremely pH dependent, is optimized because the shapes of those compounds lock in perfectly. If the pH is more optimal. And when you start to acidify, you denature those shapes. Heat and pH control the shapes of the compounds in your cells that optimize cell function. Heat and pH, the electrical charges, control the dance between the compounds in your cells that optimize your cell chemistry and minimize bad side products, angry byproducts called free radicals. Just another way of defining a lot of inflammation or a little bit of inflammation. But as that pH begins to dip in between the cells to a 7.3, a 7.2, a 7.1, a 7.0, a 6.9, a 6.8, you're still alive. When you get low enough, the parathyroid glands get a message to dissolve bone through parathyroid hormone. And you start buffering that low pH with the wrong kinds of minerals, meaning those from dissolution of your bone. And of course, when that bone grows again, when that dissolved bone wants to come back to the bone, it comes back as calcium hydroxyapatite. And the apatite form of calcium, not the soluble calcium monoorthophosphate, but that apatite goes back to your bone as a bone spur, as a driver of arthritis, as something that makes your fingers lumpy. And before you wanted to dip into your bone, you wanted to control that intercellular pH with ingested calcium, or by minimizing the acidifiers that are part of your cell's chemistry. So it's not just the calcium. You got to get that. That's real important. It's not just the calcium that controls your pH. It's all the things like a bad tooth and all the other stuff we're going to list later. All the other things that control pH have to be minimized in the direction of alkaline, or all the calcium in the world isn't going to cut it. This is where people get confused. They walk in with these books, these notebooks of this is today's pH, then tomorrow. And I see months, 2 months, 3 months of this very, very professionally charted pHs. People really get into this. And they're so frustrated because they can't understand what controls the pH. It's not just calcium. It's absorption of calcium. If you're ingesting, say, a lot of the coral calcium, are you absorbing the calcium? First of all, you're not going to get a lot of calcium into the blood. If you're taking a teaspoon and a half in one big clump, you're doing that because, unknown to you, you're settling for the fact that you're only going to take the time to do it a couple of times a day. But the truth is, that same teaspoon and a half, or 2 teaspoons, or 3 teaspoons, ought to get broken up into 4, 5, 6 times a day. Much better for you to take a quarter teaspoon. Tops a half a teaspoon in one shot. You're going to urinate out most of it if you don't hear that. The body can only absorb so much. The body, the cell, can only take so much. So first of all, what a lot of people do when they're confused is they take it twice a day in quantities that exceeds your body's ability to absorb it in the intestinal tract and into the cell. I want to get into that later. I want to stick to your basic fundamental understanding that the pH is the electrical environment that compounds live in. And then the more alkaline that pH is, aside from the more oxygen that will go to the cell, aside from cellular efficiency, the pH controlling the electrical environment, the positivity or negativity of the environment that the compound is in, will, if it pushes too acid, denature so many of your compounds. Denaturation of your enzymes. Paralysis. Enzyme paralysis. Which is not black and white. The body is not about it works or it doesn't work. Kill that idea. The body is not about it works or it doesn't work. The body is about it works efficiently or less efficiently. Holistic medicine does not live in the realm of it works and it doesn't work. You're acid or you're alkaline. If you're alkaline, you're okay. If you're acidic, you don't work. This is myopia. This is a nonsense worldview. This is not how the body works. The body works efficiently or less efficiently. Less efficiency over time means the production of angry molecules, the products of an inflammatory environment. The net result of long-term inflammation is scarring. So your fascination with pH, beginning so simplistically, is not really that simple. It's easy enough to understand, but you've got to dig a little bit deeper. Or you're going to be sitting there going, but I took my Carl calcium, and I just can't understand why my pH hasn't shifted. It's deeper than that. But you can understand it. Just takes a little bit of work, and that's why you listen to this show, because you're willing to do a little bit of work. Nothing for nothing. In case you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. These subscriptions are working beautifully. It's a wonderful way for you to begin your scholarship. And if that's not enough, I have my school, the Medici Institute. You can speak to Annika. You can speak to Catalina at 310-320-1132, 310-320-1132, or get to Straight Talk CC, straighttalk.cc, and sign up for the school so you can see the visuals on this stuff. And God willing, sooner than later, I'll have these visuals on the website, but things do take time. But I don't think there's ever a substitute for the classroom. This is when you get a chance to meet people. And that interaction I don't ever think will replace. So get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Come to the school. At least get a subscription and listen to these shows. You're not going to get this one time round or two times round. But if you put a little work in, a whole new world. We've got, what, about 80, 81 hours now. 81 hours of lecture material, straight talk. if you were to spend the next year really getting down into the guts of this stuff, I don't think you could do a better gift to yourself. So pH, measure of the hydrogen ion concentration, riding on the back of ionized calcium, riding on the back of the amount of oxygen that you can pump into the cell, which is what we call your money's worth out of your glucose molecule, which is what we call optimal cell physiology. More ATP, your cell does more for less. And then when you can't control that pH and you start going acid, and as you acidify, you begin to inflame. As you begin to inflame, you denature your enzymatic activities, all the chemical drivers inside the cell to produce what the cell needs to produce begin to fray and fall apart. Okay, good. That's a good basis. Now, what on top of the amount of calcium you bring into your body determines this beloved pH? Here's the thing, your diet. Your diet. If your diet is acidifying, and again, get the books on which foods alkalize and which foods acidify. And understand that in the balance of trade, if you're eating more food to acidify, if the acidifiers are way ahead of the alkalizers, you're going to have an acidic urine in the morning, your midstream urine. First urine, midstream, which is a rough estimate of your intercellular fluid. Of course, some people say you should take the saliva. In the calcium factor in Barefoot's book, they don't recommend the urine. They recommend the saliva. In my estimation, probably the midstream urine is a better indice of this. And I don't want to get too much into that debate, because I think it's still a debate. But the point is, if you're not getting what you want, understand your diet is controlling so much of this. I've got 5 hours of material on diet. I don't think you can do justice to diet in an hour or even 5 hours. Diet's an art. But if you get Acid Alkaline, that book, if you get any of the books on pH, they're going to put your foods into acidifiers and alkalizers. If you're eating a lot of seaweed or Irish moss, or wheatgrass, take it back. I don't know about wheatgrass. But all the algaes, if you were consuming them in appreciable quantities, you are ingesting a very, very powerful alkalizer. If you're drinking 3-4 ounces of lemon juice a day, diluted, of course, that's a very powerful alkalizer. If you're drinking vegetable juices, they're very powerful alkalizers. If you're addicted to soda pop, coffee, pharmaceutical drugs, these are very, very, very powerful acidifiers. When you sit there quizzical about why your pH, midstream urine, is not in the green, it's in the yellow, you have to consider the totality of your diet. If you're not doing that, you can't get the world view. And if you're downing 2-3 teaspoons of Carl Legend a day, do you remember before we were harping on vitamin D? You remember years ago before vitamin D, before this was harped on? Before Stephen Cannell's work? Before your MD would even test vitamin D because mainstream didn't really emphasize it. Remember when you were simply depending on sunlight and a little cod liver oil? And even if the cod liver oil wasn't rancid, I can tell you it was never enough. I can tell you I've been around long enough to understand that your version of sunlight each day and our version of maintaining adequate levels of vitamin D with cod liver oil and whatnot, the little bit in mushroom, wasn't nearly enough. How do I know that when we started measuring it, since we became so vitamin D enamored, when we started measuring levels, they were frighteningly low, even with people on vitamin D, even on Carl, on cod liver oil, even with people getting their supposed dose of sunlight each day, you know, 10 minutes of the sun, 15,000 units is made. Baloney. Absolute baloney. I can give you one baloneyism on that. Jensen nailed it years ago. He said, you think that when the sun hits your body, you make vitamin D. Not after you've dried out all the cholesterol in your skin in the morning shower, high heat in the shower, harsh soaps, or soaps, period. I don't care what type of soap you're using. It's drying out the skin. And then you bake in the sun, most of the time through windows, which is useless. But even if it's direct sunlight on your face and hands, it never cut it. You had no cholesterol in the skin. It all dried out. So much of this, I can't understand it. I take all this calcium. Where is my alkaline pH? Well, where was your vitamin D? That mistake went on for years. Yes, it did. Even if you were taking cod liver oil, testing people's vitamin Ds off people who had been on cod liver oil for years, it didn't cut it. Your vitamin D levels were still about 20 nanograms, 30 nanograms per milliliter. Even conservatively, you weren't in range. Certainly, I didn't see anybody, haven't yet, off that year, 2-5 years of the so-called cod liver oil love affair and sunlight that had it anywhere up to 60 or 70. Never saw it once. And even if you did have your vitamin D, even if you could absorb your calcium, if you're taking it at a teaspoon and a half a shot, even a teaspoon at a shot, you're only bringing in a small percentage of it. You're not going to absorb that much. It has to be metered out. A lot. Take that same 2 teaspoons and meter it out 4 or 5 times a day. Impossible, because it's not practical. Well, it costs you then. And you got to get that one straight before you sit there wondering what's wrong. Here's another one. Your emotions. Your emotions will determine your pH. Your exposure to occupational toxins. You work in an auto body shop. You're an auto mechanic. You're a jet fuel mechanic. You're a hairstylist. You work in electromagnetic radiation. You eat a lot of carbs. And you're insulin resistant. Your blood sugar is high all day, but you're not diabetic. You don't have a gallbladder. Or the gallbladder you have doesn't work. Your kidneys, instead of being optimal, are down 10 to 20%. You live with chronic infection, parasitic infection. Bugs are eating your calcium. Your gut flora is off. Infections in the tooth. A little bit of all of these combined into one big acidification system. Your fat. Where all these acidifying toxins are stored to keep you healthy, meaning we don't put it in the bone marrow or the brain or the organ. We put it in that layer of fat you have, and you're constantly burning that fat. Or your fat is so fatted out, in other words, so maxed out with these chemicals, that you're dripping acidifiers, inflammatory components, cytokines, are dripping into the blood at all time, sustaining a chronic inflammatory state. And you're wondering why a teaspoon or two of Carl Legend aren't cutting your pH. And then, of course, the infected teeth. You hear so much about it's an infected tooth. It's an infected tooth. You bet it can be an infected tooth. But add that to the list. Lack of exercise, very sluggish lymph, low hydrochloric acid, poor pancreatic output. If you have plugged bile ducts, low HCl, and a poor pancreatic output, good luck with an alkaline pH. How about no sleep? How about no sleep and therefore adrenal exhaustion, and therefore you're urinating out and all your magnesium? How about the pharmaceutical drugs you're on? How about compromised lung infection? I could list another 50. Get to the show, listen to these things again, and then ask yourself where your pH is at. This is the way you have to look at pH. Stop looking at pH like I took Carl. If you were going to take one nutritional supplement to help your pH, undoubtedly it should be Carl Legend. And you know where to get the best. So you're way ahead of the game right there. But you have to stop thinking, and I hear this all the time, people calling in on radio shows, people talking to me, et cetera, et cetera. I hear this all the time about, I take the Carl Legend, how come my pH doesn't shift? You got to get rid of this. What you have to do is understand that shift to an alkaline pH as the net result of all the good things you do for health. That if you fix the diet, you help your emotions, you reduce your exposure to occupational toxins, you bring down your blood sugar, you open up your gallbladder, you flush out the kidneys and make them function better, you get rid of different sorts of infections, you burn enough fat so you don't have any more fat to burn, and then your body doesn't need to use the fat as a storage site. You move your body. You drain your lymph. You spare your HCl. You supplement HCl. You relax your pancreas. You get your sleep. You build your adrenals. You get off your pharmaceutical drug. What? People on 3, 4, 5, 10 pharmaceutical drugs, as many people over 60 are, and you're sitting there wondering where your pH is at? I mean, are we thinking? I ask you, are we thinking? People walking in worrying about their pH when they're on 2, 3, 4, 5 pharmaceutical drugs or an antidepressant, compromised lung function. No one understands what it is to take a deep breath anymore, and we can't understand why the carbonic acid in the body that should be on the way out is keeping us in a state of acidification. Ah, you're getting it. A deeper understanding of pH, and that's what we wanted. You can get this. I'm sure you understand a lot of what I'm saying today. And yes, to some of you, this is a headache. Once again, life is not simple. But you know what I'm counting on. What I'm counting on is this fascinates you. When I put this show together today, this fascinated me. And that's it. Health is not a chore. Health is fun. Studying the body is not a chore. Studying the body is fascinating. And this is why you're you. And maybe the rest of the world gets sick. But you don't. Because you're making choices. But again, education's going to drive it. Okay. You get up in the morning, you take the midstream morning pH. It's not green, it's yellow. And what you do is relax. What you're going to start doing is every 3 months, the average pH is what you're interested in. Forget this day-to-day baloney. If you're getting healthy, when you break a biofilm, your pH is going to crash. Every time you get healthy, your pH is going to crash. That's normal. We want that. When your sacs, when your potato sacs of infection, of mucus, of pus, of dead cells burst open because you're doing what you're supposed to do, your pH is going to crash. Your pH may crash for months. Any state of detox is going to crash your pH. Any state of high toxicity is going to crash your pH. So if you've got the health bug, and especially you, if you're in that phase where you're taking steps in the right direction and you're not holding your pH, understand why. Because that shift in pH is what happens along the way. And the lymph. And I think we're going to do next week's show on the lymph. The lymph is so related to your ability to clear your intercellular fluid. So I'm going to leave you with that one. It's not your arterial system. It's not your venous system. It's not any system but the lymphatics. And if the lymphatics are granulated and filled with mucus, you've got to clear them to clear the intercellular fluid to get the pH going. Fascinating. I hope you're fascinated. Have a fascinating, health-filled week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Ciao.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.